Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Ladies of Liverpool. Now, you're going to want to make sure everyone is away from you. You're going to want to sit and listen intently to this week's episode with Danielle Lloyd. It is in association with Million Dollar Men and the brand new Ladies of Liverpool brunch. So if you fancy your tickets, head to Eventbrite online. Just search Ladies of Liverpool in there and you'll find our brunch. It's all in aid of Cash for Kids. So if you want to help out our local families and have a brilliant day out, Prosecco, afternoon tea, and boys dancing for you like there's no tomorrow, come and join me. We'll have a ball. It's July 30th and tickets are on sale now. Links also on my Instagram page. So go find me on Instagram. Now, Danielle Lloyd, she didn't say no to any question I asked. And believe me, I asked all the ones you want the answers to. I mean, all of them. Enjoy this week's episode with Danielle Lloyd.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Hello.
Oh my goodness, Danielle. You are the most, honestly, the best guest I've ever had on already, because usually we to and fro. I can't log in. I've tried the password. It's not working. You just done that just like no one's business.
I was ready from about 9 o'clock this morning.
Are you just dying for a gab, babe?
Yeah, do you know what? I am. Like, I feel like a bloody hermit I've turned into. I don't leave the house anymore.
No, tell me about it. We're exactly the same here. So how are you coping, just you and all your boys in the house?
Do you know what? It hasn't been that bad. I think the first lockdown was like, what's going on? And then everyone was just waiting for, like, it to just end. And then obviously when it ended and everyone could do stuff, we did manage to grab a little holiday, which was nice. And then, yeah, it's just been a bit manic, really, hasn't it? So, do you know what? It's been nice to actually spend some quality time with the kids and stuff. So,
yeah, you've got to look for the positives, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah. And we've been able to, like, get stuff done in the house that we wanted to get done and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been okay, to be honest. I had a bit of a meltdown in the middle of it all, but then I'm all right now, thank God.
We've all been a bit up and down. I totally relate to that. Sometimes some weeks are great, some days are great, and then sometimes you just can't shake off that feeling of Groundhog Day, can you?
No, I know. I think because obviously being like a mum and like a mum of all boys, it's like I feel like I've got to be like really strong for everyone else. And I am a really strong person and I never let things get to me. But, oh God, that day I was just like, do you know what? Someone give me a bloody break.
Do you know, honestly, hand down, if you rewind back through a couple of these episodes, I had the same conversation with someone. I said exactly the same thing. I was like, no one's checking in on me. No one's seeing if I'm all right. And I'm looking after everyone else. So you talk about your boys, obviously, fondly. So tell me about your wedding, first of all. We've all seen the pictures, your big Dubai wedding. Was it the most perfect day ever? It looked it.
Do you know what? It really was. Like, we obviously flew all our family out to Dubai and there was only, I think we only had about 40 people. There wasn't many at all. Yeah, it was just, it rained in Dubai for the 2 days running up and I was like, no, this can't be happening. Like, it's raining in Dubai. But thankfully, it never rained actually on the wedding day. So, but yeah, it was just really lovely. And like the kids, like my eldest son got really emotional. And he was just, when I walked down the aisle, he burst into tears and stuff. And I just thought, oh God, love them. Because obviously we got married on the beach, as soon as the actual ceremony finished, they stripped off naked and all ran in the sea, my kids. So I was like, oh my God.
I just thought you meant the adults then. I was like, proper spouse wedding, everyone tanked up and just dived in the sea.
I think we would have got arrested. No, the kids. And I was like, I've paid all that money for them bloody suits and they just stripped off and they're running around in the boxes now.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Do you know what? It's lovely to hear your voice when you talk about your boys and your husbands and everything, because obviously it's been played out in the press all about your love life since you were a baby. I first met you, I was hosting Miss Liverpool at the time and you won Miss Liverpool. And you went on and you won Miss GB, didn't you?
yeah, Miss England and then Miss Great Britain. Yeah.
It's out of this world, isn't it? And then, of course, you were all over the tabloid. You were stripped of your title. If nobody knows why you were stripped of your title, what did you go and do, Danielle?
Went and posed nude for Playboy. Do you know
what was that decision like, to make that decision? Was it, look, I'm getting a load of money for Playboy, this is going to be fabulous for me, forget about the title? Or was it a tough decision for you?
Well, the title didn't even really come into it, because like they knew from the beginning that I'd told them that I was going to do it. They did actually reinstate me afterwards, but I think it was just a bit of like, I don't know, maybe they just wanted a bit of press or something. But when I got offered that, it was like, of course I'm going to do it. It's Playboy. Like, not many people get asked to do like Playboy. Like, of course I'm going to jump at the chance. Like, obviously the money was good, but that, it was just like a once in a lifetime opportunity, and I thought, I'm not going to give that up. Like, why would I?
Well, I couldn't name you another Miss England or another Miss Great Britain, and I don't know whether that's because you're a Scouser or what, but I'm like, I'm sitting here now thinking, can I name another one? And I can't. So you've obviously made some really good decisions career-wise. Love-wise, we first saw you become one of the original WAGs, really, back in the day. You were with Teddy Sheringham. So how did that happen? Where did you meet? What's the story behind that? How old were you then?
So that was when I won Miss Great Britain. So that must have been 2006. And he was actually one of the judges. And then in the party afterwards, after me winning, he was like, oh, I'd like to take you out and stuff. And I was like, oh, God. And my dad was like, stay away from him.
Because he was a fox to look at. Like, he was a good looking fella.
Yeah, I think it was just obviously because he was a bit older and stuff, and being quite a young, impressionable girl, like, I was like, oh my God, he likes me, sort of thing. So yeah, it was nice, and obviously you learn by your mistakes, and I've had plenty of them. So,
oh, do you know, I love it when people are dead honest on this podcast, because we have so many different guests. You know, I have girls who, you know, live a couple of streets down from me, who've got a story to tell. They've learned from bad mistakes they've made. Girls who've made great business decisions, and I get them on to talk about it. And then I have famous people, people who are in the tabloids all the time. And it's lovely when they just talk honest, because I think there's a real danger, and this does my head in, this, Danielle, is when people believe everything they read. And that's one of the reasons why I invite people like yourself on this podcast, so that you can actually say the truth. I know you've got a platform, but unless someone follows you on Twitter and has an interest in your life, for the people who don't, they'll never know the actual truth. So it's nice for them to hear from you what's gone on throughout your journey. So there you are, you're a WAG, you're photographed all the time. I can remember seeing you with, you know, the big WAGs that we all know, of course, Colleen and Alex Gerrard and all of those. And you're in the mix of this, a young girl who was a model, who'd started off paving her own career, fell in love with Teddy Sheringham, became a WAG. How did that change your path, Danielle?
I think, like, being in the public eye was just crazy. Like, you couldn't go anywhere without being photographed. And at times, it could get pretty scary. And I think, like, you do sort of, like, fall into that, like, trap of it becoming like you think that's normality when it's really not. And like, I think, like, what I've learned now, obviously stepping away from being in the public eye and looking at it from an outside perspective, like, I will go as far as to say I did crave it sometimes. It becomes like you want that attention, like, and now, like, I look at young girls and I'm thinking, please just don't, because it's not a nice life. Like, I ended up in rehab, although everyone sees the good parts, like, oh, she's getting free clothes and she's doing this and she looks amazing and whatever. There's a dark side to being in the public eye, and it's not always great.
Ladies of Liverpool, behind closed doors, how is it not as perfect as it looks?
I've suffered with anxiety all my life, and I think, you know, people always were grabbing me, this person would want you this time, and like, you just were getting pulled from pillar to post, and it was like, it was just this like false life, really, that like you would get like a whirlwind. And like, I really badly suffered with anxiety, and I think people didn't know that. So when I'd go in front of the camera, I'd put on this happy face and, you know, pretend that everything was okay. But then I'd get home and I'd cry myself to sleep because, you know, the trolls, or I wouldn't understand why I went to an event and that person didn't speak to me or something. You know, pathetic little things that when you get older, you don't care about, do you know what I mean? But, like, they'd affect me really badly. And I went out all the time and I was drinking a lot and you got involved with drink and drugs and everything else. And it got so bad to the point where I actually did think about taking my own life. And luckily enough, I picked up the phone and I was able to speak to my mum and they got me the help that I needed. So I think it's so important to speak about things like this because, you know, it wasn't a nice experience in my life to go through, but I have got that platform to say, like, it's okay to not be okay.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Another big moment for you in your career, which you can't not mention, is the whole Big Brother saga. So starting with the good points when you were on Big Brother, what are your good memories? Because I speak to a lot of girls who've been on reality TV and more often than not, I'll be honest, when they come on the podcast, they say, hated it, wouldn't do it again, wouldn't want anyone else to do it. What's your story, Danielle?
Do you know what? I wouldn't say never, I wouldn't have never do it again because obviously it was an experience in my life and I met some amazing people on there, like, you know, I met Jermaine Jackson, like, who else can say they've met him? And I've been to LA afterwards and, like, we stayed in contact and stuff, like, and it was really catapult me into fame and probably that's why I've got what I have today. So I'm fortunate enough to have been able to have been involved in something like that. But obviously, like anything, there's always downsides. Like, I was really young, I was really naive, and it just, yeah, it wasn't obviously a nice experience when I come out, but obviously I don't regret going in there.
What happens when you come out, Danielle? There's been a backlash because there was a whole bullying saga, wasn't there? And I think when you're looking at it from the TV, we're seeing what's been edited, what is entertaining, or what's going to get people writing stories and selling papers and stuff like that. So in real life, in that Big Brother house, what's your side of things? How was it actually in there?
Do you know what? The only way I can describe it is like being stuck in a fishbowl with 12 other people that you've never met before. And, like, let's face it, in life, we don't always get on with everyone. Like, you are going to clash heads as people come from different walks of life. And, you know, obviously Shilpa was from a different walk of life and we just didn't get on very well. And I'm not like a little princess who's been brought up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've brought myself up, I do my own thing. And I think it was just, we just clashed and that was it at the end of the day. But I think, obviously, like you say, there was TVs edited in such a way which makes it watchable for people. And it was really, really horrible when I came out. It was really, really tough. I had death threats and I actually just got on a plane and went away for a while because it was just too much. But I think because I am a really strong person and I honestly did believe that I did nothing wrong apart from just not get on with someone, I think I just pulled myself together and I've been through a lot in my life and I just thought, God, I can get through this. So
they say, don't they, the newspapers are like tomorrow's chippy papers. And do you find that when something blows up in the press, because you've had a fair few incidents to deal with when it comes to the press writing stories about you, do you find it does pass as quickly as people say, or does it linger on the person that it involves? Does it stick with you?
I think obviously some things obviously stick, but now I've got to think to myself, like, if I sat there worrying about every single thing what's been said about me or what I've read, or, you know, worry about what people think of me, I'd never leave the house because I'd be sick with worry. And I've just, as you grow older, I just think you just learn to just get on with it. And I just think, if nobody likes me, that's not my problem. It's theirs and whatever. I'm just, I've got my beautiful family. I've got my, I've got a lovely husband. I've got, I'm just getting on with my life.
You've got a mum that adores you. I speak to your mum on Twitter all the time.
Oh, honestly, no, she's so cute. On Twitter.
Yeah, and she spoke to me for years. Everything I do, she supports, she likes, she retweets. She's one of those, you know, proper, you know, when we talk about women supporting women. I don't know your mum. I've never met her. But she's there, like, backing me up, all my podcast stuff. And I'm like, you know, is this where Danielle gets her strength from? Would you say your mum's been a massive part of you getting through some of these things?
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's been there by my side throughout everything. And I know it was hard on her and the rest of my family, definitely, after, like, Big Brother and stuff. But, yeah, she's really supportive. And, like, the rest of my family are. But, yeah, my mum's, like, my best friend, really.
Ladies of Liverpool. Going back, and I think on some level people have dealt with someone exposing something about them. So I was in school and I had my diary robbed, and it was like full on drama for me. In it was who I loved, who I fancied, all this kind of stuff. You had the modern day version of that happen to you, which is like way bigger than I can even imagine. I don't even know what's on my phone. So if someone was to hack into my iCloud and post it so everyone could see it, I don't know where I would start recovering from that. How did you find out first? Can you remember the moment you found out someone had hacked into your phone?
Yeah, so I'd been getting messages throughout the day, like weird, like little tweets and stuff. And I'm thinking, what are these people going on about? Like, I don't didn't really understand what was going on. Anyway,
but there are some loons on that Twitter. So you do find yourself, what are they talking about? What's that about?
Yeah.
And it means nothing. So I see where you're coming from there. You've just gone, something's happened, but I don't know what it is.
So then anyway, so I'm 8 months pregnant at this time. I'm laying in bed, and then I think it was my agent, or I might have even been my mum, and she said, I've just had this message. Apparently your phone's been, your iCloud's been hacked, and all these images and videos and whatever's come out. Now, bearing in mind I'm 8 months pregnant, I thought my life was over. I just thought, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? I was devastated. I was crying. And it was really, really difficult time. Like, obviously, it's hard enough when you're pregnant anyway. And I just, it was just so tough. But I ended up, I don't know how, but I ended up getting over it, because I think all my friends at the time were messaging me going, well, I tell you what, if I had a flower that looked like that, I'd be bloody made up, mate.
Because I know, it was like no old bard, was it? But it was full on designer, Danielle, I'll give you that.
Well, I was just and then they made me laugh about it, and I just thought, you know what, it's there now, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's there. I can't get it back.
And that's it, and there's nothing, you can't control what you can't control. So there's got to come a point where if you're strong enough, you can talk yourself off the ledge. But on a serious note, this is a big problem, because I get messages from loads of mums and dads. Parents will message me and say, will you send a little message to my kid? They listen to you in the morning on the radio. They've had a photograph of them from a WhatsApp group's gone viral. Someone sent it round in another WhatsApp group. And this is like going on big time in schools, and to the point where kids are, you know, threatening to take their own lives, to have them break down,
out
of school. It's a disease at the minute where people are thinking it's okay to do that with other people's content and photographs and videos or whatever else. Friends are doing it to other friends. And if you've got, because I know a lot of young people will be listening to this, if you've got any advice, either for the parents who are listening, who will possibly deal with something similar happening to their kids, or to the kids listening to themselves. I know it's hard to put you on the spot to say that, but from someone who's actually been through it on a much bigger scale and come out the other side, do you have any words of wisdom for them?
Obviously, to just try and be as strong as possible and to get through it, and just know that they've got nothing to be ashamed of. It's the other person, they're just the vile. They've obviously got something seriously wrong with them if they think that that's okay to do. And to just know that it's, you're not in the wrong, basically. It's the other person, and karma will come back and bite them. So just to stay strong. it's easier said than done, but as I said, like, as you grow older, you just grow a thicker skin and you just think, you know what? What will be, will be.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies. When I look at you and what you're doing and stuff, especially on your Instagram page, you're a grafter. You can go out there, you'll earn money and you'll do different things. You've got a couple of different online businesses at the moment. I'd love you to talk about them and let people know exactly what you're doing.
I've started an at-home business with my lovely mum, actually. So that's Miss Ketones, which I'm absolutely loving. I got introduced to ketones about a year and a half ago. And, you know, I've promoted diet things in the past. And I thought, oh, God, I'm not getting involved in this. And they were like, just try them. Honestly, from someone who's suffered with anxiety in the past, I changed in 3 days of taking these drinks. Yeah. And my whole personality changed. And even my husband was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you being so nice?
What is it that's on in these drinks then that you think changed your mood?
Ketones help with hormones. They help with fat loss. They help with your sleep. There's so many benefits because obviously, naturally, we're all born into ketosis. So obviously, as a baby, we feed off our own fat. But obviously, when we start eating, that's when the carbs start kicking in and we ruin our bodies. But obviously, the drinks put our bodies into ketosis again. So we let our body start learning to use our fat as a fuel instead of using carbohydrates. So it's better for the brain. I could sit here all day and talk about it, honestly. Like, there's so many.
In your voice, you're really passionate about it, aren't you?
I am. And you know what? Like, it's hard for me because when I post a picture, it's like, oh, look at my before and afters. Like, I've lost a bit of fat. If I could post a picture of my brain and all my personality, all my mood, and to see the difference when I am taking ketones and when I'm not, like, it would just be massive. But you can't. You can't post a picture
sadly,
of that.
You'll have to do videos on your story of you being a proper bitch, screaming at your fella and kicking off, and then one of you just dead chill, like just lying on the couch, like, no kids, make a mess, it sounds.
Yeah,
I've had my ketones. Is that the dream, just to work from home?
Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, I said to you at the start, I'm like a hermit, I don't like leaving the house no more. But I think like our home businesses are great because I love spending time with my kids. I love spending time with my husband. Or I can pick up my phone, I can go on a plane on holiday and I can still work. Like, you know, that's the dream life, isn't it, really? I don't want to be going and sitting in an office.
Absolutely. But, and with that in mind, I need to ask you about OnlyFans. What's on your OnlyFans page for us girls that aren't on OnlyFans but we're dying to know what actually happens on OnlyFans?
Do you know what? Like, there's obviously quite sexy pictures on there. I post all the things like from Playboy and whatever else on there. Yeah. But to be honest, there's not much that anyone hasn't seen because my phone got hacked, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Was that the point where you went, oh, hang on, what am I going to do to spin this into a money-making thing?
Yeah.
Sod it, I'll go on OnlyFans. Everyone's seen it anyway.
Yeah. No, do you know what? But my fella actually went to me, oh, you should get one of them OnlyFans. And I went, do you reckon? Obviously, he was messing around. And then the next day I went, I've started up one of them OnlyFans. He went, what?
How haven't you got like a reality TV show? Imagine that episode playing out. You should do that. I didn't mean it, Danielle, friggin'
But yeah, it's been really good, and it obviously, like, I'm happy that I have started it, and why not? I think like girls these days get like they post the pictures on Instagram anyway, so what's the difference? If they can make money for it, why not? And I think people
that's why it's like this unspoken thing, Danielle, because you see girls doing it on Instagram anyway. I'm like, there must be something else that goes on OnlyFans then. What's the difference?
Oh, you do get the odd weirdo, like I have weirdos, like, can you send me pictures of your feet or like weird stuff? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think so. But like...
Oh, so is that because I get that on Instagram where they'll go, send me can I put money in your account? And I think, I just look shit at the minute. my roots must need doing desperately if this fella was to give me money. You feel sorry for me. I'm like, flick off now. Do you get weird things on Instagram that are more weird than OnlyFans? Or would you say OnlyFans, people are a little bit more like comfortable asking for weird stuff?
Do you know what I think it is? Like, obviously, with Instagram, you are less approachable because you don't always see people's messages on Instagram because you might get thousands a day. And then with OnlyFans, they can contact you and they can direct message you and they know that you're going to see that message and they feel like they're actually in contact with you. And it's just different.
So what's the weirdest message you've ever had?
God, I don't know. Probably, like, you probably get that, like, oh, can I buy some used underwear or something? And I'm like, honestly.
In the winter, have you got any tights? And you're like, the full of ladders.
I did have this one geezer, and he used to want to send me pictures, not me sending pictures. He wanted to send me pictures of him in my underwear.
Oh, funny. Funny. And would he pay you for you to look at pictures of him in your knickers? That is unbelievable.
Well, he used to just send me pictures of him in his own. I never sent him any. And he'd be all dressed up in his sussies.
But what a lovely, that must be a lovely release for him. He's getting what he needs out of that. No one's getting it.
Exactly.
Everyone's all right.
Yeah, and my mortgage is getting paid.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Do you know what? I love the fact that you've been dead honest here. You're talking, you know, real talk. I'm sure there are other sides of OnlyFans, but I think with you being a celebrity and going into it, it's a bit different for you. I do worry for some girls, like, getting in there and getting caught up in stuff that they can't get out of and where the mind is when they're setting up these OnlyFans accounts. I'm sure there are dark sides to it, and I do worry for those girls. Hand on heart, I listen to you, and it's business. It's, you know, the world's changed since you could get paid and do like a newspaper page three, you know, glamour model shoot. With Instagram and all that, that's changed. This is just an extension of that.
There's no money anymore in, like, obviously I wouldn't go and do glamour model and nuts and whatever else anymore. They wouldn't bloody want me on there.
But I bet they would.
They're not doing that anymore. So this is just the new thing. So everything's online now. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like you say, like for me, it's just a business. It's my business and I know where the line is. But for young girls, they have got to be really careful.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's a strange one. I think everyone who goes on it, whether they're paying to be on it to look at you or whether it's you putting your pictures on, I think everyone's an individual case. But for yours, I don't think anyone's got to worry about you and where your head's at. You seem pretty switched on, girl. You know what you're doing. Before I leave you, I need to ask you another question, which I'd love you to clear up for people, because I think for anyone who's tuned into this podcast to go, oh, Danielle Lloyd, I've got an opinion on Danielle Lloyd. I think at this point now, if you've listened to all of this, you've probably changed your opinion, to be fair.
Well, do you know what? Honestly, when I meet people, they're like, the first thing they go, oh my God, I thought you was a bitch. And I was like, what do you think now? They're like, you're actually really nice. And I'm
like, one of them is that you can believe what you read. But there's one thing that people do latch onto, and you're one of many, and I've got to ask you because I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. The Sun, your connection to The Sun, clear it up for us, Danielle.
Obviously, in the past, like, well, they always post pictures of me because they buy them and whatever else. I did do an interview once with them. I don't think my dad spoke to me for like a year afterwards. He was like, how could you do that? I honestly didn't understand because I've been away from Liverpool for about 18 years now or longer. Like, and I didn't really understand the severity of it, but obviously, when my dad spoke to me and he told me exactly like what had happened, and
this is going back like, how many years? This is how many years ago?
This is probably like over 10 years ago now that I did the interview. I did an interview with The Sun, and my dad was just like, "Oh, he's so angry," and he was like, "Why would you do that?" Like, why would you do something like that? And I didn't honestly understand. So I definitely haven't done one since, and I won't be.
And you're never like, going to do one ever again.
No. To be honest, like, I've been offered so much money, and, like, I just refuse to do it now because, obviously, the people of Liverpool mean more.
Yeah, definitely. Your dad. Your dad means more to you.
Yeah, and just obviously that circumstance, like I obviously didn't really understand what had actually happened because I was really young at the time. But now looking back, like, yeah, I wish I'd never done that, to be honest.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad you've said your piece on here to the people that do count to me, or all the listeners to this podcast are going to, you know, have the say and message in and say what they thought of the interview. But honestly, hand on heart, you have been one of the most genuine and honest ladies
to be on here.
So thank you so much for chatting to us, Danielle. Best of luck with everything that's coming next for you.
And, thank you.
I look forward to catching up with you soon.
I've got a skincare range coming out as well, so watch this space.
Go on. Will we see it on your Instagram?
Yeah, it'll be on my Instagram really soon, so watch out for that.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Danielle, for joining us, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.